Hello everyone, this is Anke Menzler, your host for Breakthrough the Glass Ceiling. Our special guest today is Joey Drolshagen, and we'll be talking about right-sizing the glass ceiling so you can be successful in your career and life. But before we dive in with him, let me quickly, of course, give you an introduction. Who is Joey? Joey Drolshagen was featured in Fox, NBC, and CBS, along with being named one of the top coaches in America for two consecutive years. In the New York City Journal, Joey is known for helping countless individuals to transform their lives through retraining the subconscious conditioning. Aside from a very successful 20-year career, up to vice president of sales, Joey has spent over three decades studying, implementing, and developing what's become known as the SMT method, which has repeatedly helped hundreds of people to transform their reality through retraining the subconscious mind to become unstoppable. Hello, Joey. Welcome to Breakthrough the Glass Ceiling.
Hello, Anke. It's so awesome to get to be here with you and have this conversation this morning. I've been really excited about it.
It's such a pleasure having you. And before we really get into the topic, I really would love to know how you got into coaching, because you left behind a very successful career. How come you are a coach today?
Yeah, you know, at 22 years old, I heard a speaker. His name was Jack Bolin, and he spoke. And I to this day, I don't remember what he said, but it just lit this fuse, this fire inside of me, at my soul, that I want. And I knew in that moment I wanted to spend my life. I want to inspire, motivate, and lead people to living better lives. But at 22 years old, I didn't really know much about life myself. So I became a student of the works I do today. And I was conditioned up in Detroit, Michigan, in a low-income family. And I was conditioned that a man gets a job, supports a family, and hopefully lives long enough to enjoy some years in retirement. And I bought into that hook, line, and sinker. So I started out in the automotive industry. And then from there, I built a corporate career with the schooling and everything else, and ended up to a vice president of sales and building very successful territories, helping organizations that were going into bankruptcies get back into profitability. And so, but all the while, I had this second life I was living with this desire to live a better life. And I was learning and growing, and I took classes and courses and, you know, coaches and everything. And at the beginning, I thought maybe it was I was supposed to be a minister. So I'm also an ordained minister, mm-hmm. and I love doing that. But it was more of this level. It was more of working with the one-on-one with people, you know, and I work with individuals, organizations, corporations, but it's really on helping people to align, manifest, and transform their life into achieving what they want with less effort on their part. And so as I moved into this, a series of events happened in my world. And when I was in my 40s, I just decided, like, you know, my dad passed away. And then a year later, my mom passed away. And you know, she just didn't want to be alive without her other half. And I found myself an orphan. And it was like, man, I'm doing this career. I was really good at it, which confused me because I thought maybe that's what I was supposed to do. And so even though I had this other passion, and now I'm starting to get a little bit of headway with the coaching and such and working with a client here, a client there and such. But at that point, it was like, man, I don't want to live in this corporate world anymore. It's not my world. And I was so far out of alignment with what my mission and my purpose was for my life that and as I did that is where I really came about finding the whole subconscious. Before then, I knew all the other things, and I knew about, you know, taking steps, working through fear. I've learned all of that stuff. But things like the law of attraction, the secret, they never made sense to me because I always tried to apply them as a, you know, think my way into the life I wanted, right? I thought I could think my way into happy, think my way into riches, think my way into love, but it never worked. Well, after that process with my mom and dad passing away and through all that, I came across the whole subconscious. And that's when I understood that we have a conscious mind of whatever we're focused on, the thoughts we entertain, the words we use, you know, all of our conscious focuses and our knowing is in our conscious, all the stuff we learn. But the other half of us are doing part is all in the subconscious.
Yeah.
All the conditionings, all the things that we were taught was right and wrong, all that stuff is all in the subconscious. So that I kept getting pulled back into the corporate world because of that conditioning that a man gets a job, mm-hmm. supports a family, and hopefully lives long enough to enjoy some retirement. And so once I understood that connection, once I started working on that subconscious conditioning, all of a sudden once I finalized what I call subconscious mindset training method or SMT, within months, I created my company, IFGT Coaching, which the IFGT stands for It's Frickin' Go Time. And because it took me so long, it only made sense that would be the name, you know? So, and then within 6 months of that time I did that, I resigned from the six-figure income and all the perks and everything as a vice president of sales. And I moved, at that time I was in Iowa. I moved from Iowa down to South Carolina, and now I live in the mountains. And I've been building my business and growing this coaching and impacting thousands of lives since I've done that.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's a lot of fear, a lot of hitting up against walls. A lot of the steps in doing that is really what's polished up the SMT method because I lived it. And so what used to take me years to accomplish, I can help people do that in weeks now.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow. And some people might think, why would you leave all that behind? But it totally makes sense what you just said, is we all want something more in life. And today it's about the subconscious and a lot more. And we said we want to talk about right sizing the glass ceiling so you can be successful in your career and in your life, because you just combined that, not only being successful in the career path, but also complete life path. And I just love how you put that all together, because you have been successful in your career and tried to make this also happen for your life. And oh, wow. Thank you for giving us some insight on that. And wow. And you also mentioned a lot that I find very interesting is manifesting, because I've only talked to women about manifestation, and you just put that into our conversation, in our first conversation and now. And I just want to give the audience a bit of an insight how you also work with manifestation, or what do you think manifestation really is? Because they still think it's woo-woo, or I just sit back and don't do anything.
A lot of people, and you think, you know, I do some consulting at organizations and corporations too. So think about going in there with these tools. How do you explain that in a way where people aren't going to get up and walk away and go, this guy's out there, you know? And yeah. And really, you're absolutely right, Angie, is there so many more women that are open to this than men. And the reason being is because as men, as boys, we're conditioned with that John Wayne-ism. Right? We're conditioned to be taught that we have to, you know, we have to solve it. We have to fix it, you know, and if you can't fix it, there's something wrong with you, and things that more so, not, you know, females as well, but that male role is that. So when I start talking to a male, a lot of times my clients, I don't use those words manifesting, you know, because until they get into it and start experiencing it, and then I can go, that's what manifesting is right there. Manifesting is when we're using our powers. You know, one of my favorite quotes by, oh my God, I can't, just lost her name. Marianne Williamson is, we're not afraid of being powerless. What we're truly afraid of, how very powerful that we are. And I know it's not word for word, but that's what our big fear is how powerful we are. And manifesting all of this is utilizing that mindset where Jesus said, these and even greater things shall you do. It's utilizing those things to bring about what we want to bring about in our life.
Yeah,
you know, that's what manifesting is we start creating. You know, I have events, and this conversation right here with you is a manifestation. It's a creation based on a creative spark,
yeah,
of a desire.
Yeah.
And that's really what manifesting is. So when you look at somebody doing sales, you look at somebody who wants to achieve CEO of a company who happens to be a female and going to the glass ceiling and stuff. When you start seeing that, the conditioning of that glass ceiling is what's going to start holding us down. Our enemy is not out there. Our enemy is right in here.
Oh, yeah.
Our greatest enemy we will ever face is between our ears, because that's the one that's going to tell us that we can't and why we can't do so. And what I've learned and what I help people understand is it comes from the subconscious. So once you can go into the subconscious and be aware of that, which is the first step, is to be aware of it and then shift that. And that's what the SMT method's all about, to shift that. All of a sudden you start opening up and you can start manifesting. You can start achieving those things with less effort and greater joy through the process of doing so.
Oh, wow. You just mentioned something that I don't know if someone in the audience can recall, but this quote that you just quoted was about being afraid of your power, not being afraid of failing. But all we have or all we usually get from our clients as coaches is the limiting beliefs they tell us. But usually they don't tell us, I'm afraid of success. But that's the ultimate power within, I think.
That yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Hello. Yes.
Yeah. And so many of the clients I work with, they don't even recognize that they have the fear of success.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is they utilize that conditioning in the subconscious. They do it subconsciously, but they utilize that conditioning to sabotage what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
I grew up in a very, very low income family. Both of my parents worked. There were five of us kids.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad worked in blue collar. And I was told my whole childhood is some people are meant to work with their head and some people are meant to work with their hands. And you're meant to work with your hands.
Yeah.
And so I never excelled at school. I never even tried, because it's like, okay, I'll learn how to do the stuff my dad does, dig ditches, whatever, and stuff like that. And I have a lot of respect for all of it. So I don't mean to, downplay either side of it. But it wasn't until I met somebody after that 22 years old, I was about 22 and a half, and I met somebody and they saw more in me than I could see in myself. And so here I was. All the time growing up, I thought I'm just a mediocre person and I'm going to have a mediocre life. And I pictured this blue collar job and I worked as much overtime as I could and followed the path my dad followed, and that's what I thought I was going to do. So because of this person, they befriended me and then they would have me practice interviewing and doing things like that and stuff. And I was like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. I don't even like you. But that led, finally they got me. And this is one of the things I start with every person I work with on, is we have to have a vision for our life. So often I'll say to people, what do you want? What are your greatest desires for their life? And they'll say, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And that right there, that not knowing, is what causes us to waffle back and forth and what empowers the underlying conditioning in the subconscious to run our life. But ultimately, so this person had me, I'm kind of tied in a little bit, but this person had me go through and they said, so what do you want? What would, like, the best corporate job you could have, what would it be? And Anke, I came up with, I said, I want a company car, a laptop computer, and my own pager. That's how long
ago. That's the usual answer, isn't it? It's just about the materials. Yes.
And my first job in corporate America, I got a Ford Taurus car, a laptop computer, and a pager.
Oh, no way. So manifestation.
And then it started,
hello.
And it just started growing and building. And once I got into it, it was like I got pulled up, like I would do things. And, so like for me in my life, I perceived there was a glass ceiling. I didn't think I'd ever get out of blue collar. I thought that was my lot in life.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And so as these things started happening and started growing and building up there was never once that I said, I want to build up to a vice president of sales. That wasn't my vision for my life.
Yeah.
My vision for my life was speaking to millions of people and truly helping people to live better lives.
Yeah.
But I was also good at what I did in corporate. So as I built and grew in there, the whole thing unfolded. And I'm great. I'm very blessed that I got to experience what I got to experience. I'm the first child in my family, which it considers like my mom and dad's, their brothers and sisters. I'm the first one with a college degree.
Ah, wow. There you go.
So,
yeah, that's... It's always like someone starts something new, and you are the first with a college degree. The same goes with me in my family, all also having just I think enough food and everything, so really being taken care of completely. But that's not it. I think someone needs to believe in you, and that's the same what happened to me. And if you are not the one person that can believe in yourself, because you are or you feel powerless, or you feel overwhelmed, or you you see that glass ceiling, and today it's about resizing it so that you can see your power and really your greatness. So you need someone to see that in you. And you just said you go about it in the way of asking them what's their first goal, or what's their biggest goal in life, so what they want for their life. But how do they come up with a goal in life that really sparks them if they don't know? And I know that's not just something that comes from the subconscious. We talked about materials, and so how do you really get into that with them? So what makes them tick then? How do they go about that with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And sorry, so based on the whole thing about what you said, having somebody believe in you, we all do need that. And I'll tell you, but we can't hang our whole life on somebody else's belief in us. We have to be able to utilize that to build our belief in us. And until we do that, we're going to somehow be victimized by life. We're going to somehow be, you know, so utilizing that person led me into different types of counseling and therapy and things like that I did for many years, because it wasn't, when I was that age, there wasn't really coaching around. But then as coaching came on, to get into coaching, get into programs and all of that. And I'll tell you, one of the emphases I do as far as the vision, one of the emphases I do, whether I'm working with an individual organization or corporation, the first place we start is we start developing, and I have road mapping tools for this, but it's developing what I call a dynamic vision for your life. So it covers all areas of your life. The ultimate vision will cover your health and your well-being. It'll cover your vocation, your relationships, your time, and your money freedom, and start getting into that place. Because as we do that, as we get a vision and start living through that vision and seeing what it's like to be that person, what that does is it takes the power out of the situation, circumstances, and conditions that are happening around us. Without having a vision, we're more prone to give those a higher priority of that conditioning, you know, the situations and circumstances happening in our life. So then we start living reactionary. We're like whack-a-mole, you know, where we're trying to, something pops up and we try to take care of it. And then something here, and we're kind of going through it rather than being at a level of it coming from that inside, from that vision, where we can start responding to those things. When we start responding to them is how we start to instantly overcome them.
Okay, yeah. It makes absolutely sense. Then it's not a reaction anymore. It's something that you do on purpose. It's not something where you are on autopilot and just go with everything that comes up. But you really consciously do something, and which brings me to something. You said we are working with the subconscious, or you have to retrain the subconscious, but a lot of people are much in their head. So, and you perceive a lot with by what you see and how you how things are outside, but this is just a visionary or visual reality, and people go about that in a way like finding it on the outside and having a truth behind that. So, but how do you maybe break that or resize their reality to something that is much more actionable, I think?
Yeah, well, here's where like heads start going, where is this guy coming from? But the reality of our life is make-believe.
Yep.
The reality of my life, the reality of your life, the reality of every single one of us, our life is, the reality is make-believe, because it's 100% based on our perceptions. So if you think about that, like, because you were just saying that, if you think about that, our perceptions are our reality. So it's really good news in that. So if you're coming from a conditioning that a man's, you know, supposed to be in corporate America and things like that and everything, then I'm going to follow that until I do something about that perception, that conditioning. So the good news is that anytime we can look at that, we can shift that perception and we shift our whole reality.
Oh, yeah.
The bad news, nobody can shift that for us. We have to be a willing participant in our life to be aware of it, to look at it, and be willing to make those shifts to start opening up those doorways. So, you know, bringing that right to this conversation about glass ceiling, there are some people that say they can't get above middle management because of, you know, and it could be, it's a lot with women, but it's a lot with, you know, race and other things and stuff like that too, that it applies to. So it's not just one focused area, but, and when you look at that, yet there's people of the same origin, there's people of the same race, there's people of the same thing that are CEOs of companies. There's a female that's a CEO of General Motors Corporation.
Oops.
So why is that?
Either her limiting beliefs.
That's what it is. It's so somebody else would say, well, she broke through the glass ceiling.
Oh.
But for her, her perception is there is no glass ceiling.
How did she do that? If she does not have the perception of there is no glass ceiling, because a lot of women tend to have that.
Well, and that's what I mean. When we look at that, you know, not that there's not some evidence of that, right?
Yeah.
But what it is, Anki, is if we focus on that being the solid truth of life.
Oh, yeah.
There's a glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. It's going to limit us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's when we decide inside of ourselves, will we empower ourselves enough to where there is no glass thick enough that I can't get through?
Yeah.
There's no glass thick enough that you can't get through.
That's so true.
When we get to that level of living within that power zone within ourselves, that comes from within. It cannot come from outside. It has to come from within. When we get to that point, you'll see people rising up higher, quicker, easier than what it's been like.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that what happens. So I'm working with a group of people right now with staffing. Huge, huge issue. And I know it is worldwide to some degree, but in the area I'm in, it's huge. So I'm working with people in my area right now, and we're going through. And what started this is because they'd have all these get-togethers, these masterminds, these group meetings, and all they would do was complain about how hard it is to find people, how this, how that. And the whole focus is on what a huge issue and problem staffing is. Now, I know this for a fact. The organizations I've worked with, I've told you, I've taken multiple organizations that were either in or going in bankruptcy and helped them get back into profitability. And the way I did that was had them quit focusing in on the issues and start focusing in on what's going well. And I'll tell you, I went from an organization that went from $75 million excess down to almost nothing within a matter of 18 months, put themselves in bankruptcy. They'd have upper management meetings 5 days a week that I had to sit in. And all it was complaining about this area, this area, this area, all the way around. And so I started saying, listen, you guys, we're talking about all this and it's only getting worse. Our scrap rate, you know, the percent of junk that was produced has gone from like mid-20s up to over 50% in the last month. And all we do is sit in here and talk about that and it gets worse. I go, can we just start talking about some positive? Can we start? And what I was talking about was shifting perception.
Yes.
Can we start looking at what's going good? And so they call me Mr. Over-Optimistic and they call me all this other stuff and everything. Well, one day I was in a meeting one day, it was a Thursday. And one of the guys goes, you know, because I said, gave my spiel and the guy goes, I go, you know, let's talk about something positive. And the one guy goes, you know, we had a problem over in our area on these small parts. And we had like over 50% scrap. And so we did this, this, and this, and it brought the scrap down to, you know, in the double, you know, like 10, 12%. Wow. All of a sudden, somebody on the other side of the room goes, wait a minute, what's the problem? And he told him, he goes, I got the same problem. He goes, yeah, we did this, this, and this. Next week, midweek, we come in there. The guy on the other side, we ended up taking, just from that conversation, ended up taking our scrap rate from over 50% into single digit.
Yeah.
So it went down to like 8%, 9% scrap rate. Well, then all of a sudden people started getting excited. So then we'd start talking and then people would start more willing to bring in positive of what's po- and because when you're doing that, you're coming from a different point of view. When you're talking about the glass ceiling, you're talking about even racism, discrimination, you're talking about problems like that. All you're doing is growing that problem. When you get into the other side and you start looking at what's going well,
yeah,
you know, from that conversation of that happening there mm-hmm. with those two gentlemen talking in that scrap rate, we started putting together a vision for what we wanted to see happen. And within 5 months, a little over 5 months, we had a new owner purchase the facility, dump $12 million into operations, instantly taking them from running 3 days a month to 5 days a week. And everything just grew back again once we did that. So when you look at that and you start with a vision, and that's why it's so important, because a vision gets you above yes. your present situation and circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This is so amazing. And I just want to come back to that one woman. What did you say? She's CEO at General
Motors. She's the CEO of General Motors Corporation.
And why is it that there are still too little women in this area? And now I want to distinguish a bit between men and women. So because we talked in the beginning about the subconscious and the conscious, and some women tend to have a better access to the subconscious maybe, but because of the manifestation, they are more used to that. But how come that they still have the problem of that perceived glass ceiling? A bit more than the men have, because men usually tend to be more successful in their careers, but women not. So what the heck is going on there?
Well said, you know, but even you look at men and, you know, we know all this information. We know that we each have a masculine and feminine side, whether you're male or female, we know that, but yet males are still conditioned. You know, if you want something to cry, I'll give you if you're going to cry, I'll give you a reason to cry. You know, big boys don't cry. Yeah. All of that stuff and everything. And girls are taught the same thing. You know, even though we're not in the days where a female stays at home and raises, you know, does the cooking and cleaning and the man goes out to work, there's still some of that. It shifted some, but there's still some of it there. So when you look at these girls who are going into junior high and high school, and even women going into the workforce that hear from other people from older generations about how there's a glass ceiling and stuff like that, all of a sudden it instantly starts limiting your belief in yourself. Mm-hmm. And so you either bull up to break through it, because it's like, hey, that damn thing's not going to stop me type of a mentality, right? Mm-hmm. Or you kind of do what you can to get to where you can get to. And we just, it's almost like we live by that. So understanding the subconscious, and it's such a powerful part of our mindset, understanding it is different than going in and looking at the particular conditioning that's holding you up. And as we start shifting that, identifying and shifting that conditioning, is where we start realizing even more so how very powerful we are. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'll tell you, every client that I've taken through it, one of the biggest compliments I get about the works I do and such is the results that people get beyond what they even thought they were going to get, or especially beyond what they were looking for to get out of it. Mm-hmm. What they were, you know, looking to get out of it and stuff. And so that's really what it is it's still that conditioning portion of it until we shift it. And let me tell you this. The conditioning is unique to all of us. So I was raised, I told you about my family. I have four siblings, and all four of us were raised by the same two parents in the same house, went to the same grade school, high school, all of that. And each one of us has different conditioning.
Yep.
And that's where I used to get confused with thinking I could positive think my way into the life I wanted. And what I believe, things like what's taught on the law of attraction, the secret, things like that, is it's almost taught as a one size fit all, mm-hmm. but it's not, because your conditioning is unique to you, just like mine is unique to me. So once we have a set of tools to help us go through and identify that unique conditioning, then we can shift that. And oh man, I'll tell you, that's when we start opening up our powerhouse okay. in our life.
Yeah. So, and there you come with a unique approach, but still something that is accessible to everyone. So being, because a lot of people tend to think then, okay, but you all have programs, you all have methodologies, but yes, still you come to the point where you are individual, but still those things, any method will help you. Doesn't matter if you are Joey or Anke, it's just this way how it goes. That's how our human brain works.
Now, there are some things in that I've learned, though, you know, because so many people have set out on their path. Mm-hmm. They've succeeded, you know, incredible success in their life and things like that. And then they start teaching other people what the A, B's and C's were that they did in order to get there. And to me, that never, ever, ever worked for me. What it did is it took me away from my authentic self to try to be somebody I wasn't, to do these things that person did. Yeah. And so one of the things I really love about SMT method is it helps each person identify their unique pathway to success. They're not following my pathway. Mm-hmm. The tools are just a way to identify and open that up. So I tell people, be hesitant if somebody tells you they can show you what they did. I don't give a damn what somebody else did. Yeah. I want somebody to show me what I need to do and help me to find that within me. And that's why I tell all my clients, I don't have your answers. Yeah. I have no idea what they are, but I'm really freaking good at helping you identify what they are and then bring them to fruition very quickly.
Thank you.
So that's the difference. People can do it on their own as well. I did. The problem is it took me decades to learn the processes and to read all the stuff and the studies and everything else that led to this, where now somebody else, like I said, what took me years and even decades, people can achieve in weeks.
Yes.
So that's what it is having, it's kind of like going up Mount Everest. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go up it yourself if you want, but having a guide is going to assure you a little bit of security. There's somebody that knows the terrain, right? What to look out for. So they're going to make it a more enjoyable trip for you, mm-hmm. and you'll get more out of it than trying to hike it alone and just take off and go.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with this.
Yeah. And I love how you emphasized that you can show them your way, of course, but it might not fit for them because they are not you. So you are still unique in your way, however you are. And just having in mind that we get trained on math at school, that's not math. It's just life, and you are a different person. If you want to calculate a price, that's not a problem. We can show you this, but you are not a product. You are not a price. And that's something that I love, because I still hear about a lot of people buying books and going about the advice that they get from that book, which is if you go to a trainer, a coach, someone who's really up to getting into your conscious or into your subconscious, really helps you find your own way. And this is thank you so much for highlighting this. Yeah,
and that's some of the stuff. Even so, when you ask that about, like, you know, with females and stuff, why do so many experience that glass ceiling and stuff, this is why. And the other thing that fits into, and this is so much with this, but the other thing that fits into it really well is that we, you know, like, even from the time we go to school, it's all conditioning us to be robots.
Yep.
So there's no uniqueness to it. And if you are unique in it, you know, then it kind of pulls it out of it in order to follow the curriculum and do well and everything else. And, you know, like me, like, all through school, I was considered a class clown and stuff. And they all thought that, you know, my teachers would all mark me down and I'd get grounded and in trouble. And so it's ended up being one of the best things about me is that I can joke around and be jovial and things like that, because I can help people where if I were more serious, I wouldn't be able to. You know, so when we look at those things and start looking more at our uniqueness and getting out of that robotics of okay, so, you know, the 5 a.m. Club, it's a very popular book, very popular action and things like that. And I talk to people who are really, really, like, I talk to people who do it. And what happens is somebody starts to do that. It doesn't fit into them. They can't fit themselves into it. So they walk away feeling like a failure from it.
Mm-hmm.
It was never intended for you, though. And then I have other people that take it and they do really well. They really prosper and you know, expand. But that's fitting in for them.
Yeah.
So all of these things and all of so much information is available to us, but it's not a pass fail. It's more of a, does this align or doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
When we start doing these things, and I know we're kind of going, it seems like we're going off track and back and stuff, but we're not, because all of this stuff is about self-empowerment. Mm-hmm. And self-empowerment will show you there is no glass ceiling. There's no person, situation, or circumstance that's more powerful than the power that we hold within ourselves to create the life that we desire.
And
so these are all ways of tapping into that.
Yes. And you just said, yes, it sounds like going off track, but it's not. It's really this resizing every bit that you can take, like, okay, I'm a failure. I have been conditioned like that. There are programs out there. There are some books with great advice, but still it's the story of someone who got successful by following that path. And please, and now this is getting everything back into the core is, okay, just take all these things away and make it your unique way. Tap into yourself, tap into your own power, into your own subconscious, and bring that to the conscious, and then create something out of that. And that's exactly where we are right now. So no, we haven't been going on.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It seemed like we haven't. And the other thing of what you just said, Anki, is when somebody does that, the benefit of having a you or a me with them, the reason I work with a coach is because otherwise I'll run into those walls and I don't even realize I'm doing it. It's so ingrained in our conditioning, mm-hmm. that I don't realize my patterns, paradigms, things like that, that I'm bumping into them. We're having somebody who can help me see that and then have tools to start shifting that, yeah. is where the huge benefit of it comes in. So yeah, we can all do it alone, but I'll tell you, I don't think I would be where I'm at right now if I tried to do it on my own.
Yes.
You know, and the whole thing in the Bible, even where it says iron sharpens iron, you know, that we need other people to achieve, to be what we're supposed to be, to fulfill our purpose and our, you know, our passion in our lifetime. And that's what that is. And again, the reason so many people are against what I've found, the reason so many people are against what we do in their life is because they somehow got tied into somebody who tried to pull them away from who they are and be somebody else. And it didn't work for them. And they felt like failures, or it was, you know what I mean? It was things like that. It wasn't somebody helping them find their pathway to success.
Yeah. Or they relied on someone who just knew one way, maybe, or trained them a certain way. And I just remember, and that's so funny, because I want to bring that to the audience awareness again, as we were talking about the subconscious. And in the beginning, you said you were a ordinate minister. So, and you are working with the manifestation. And I love that, because one does not exclude the other. And that's
God, that took me so long to understand and grasp that. I felt like I was doing something ungodly when I started looking into the powers of the conscious mind, powers of the subconscious mind, manifesting things like that. It was almost demonic, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And what's resulted from that, and I grew up Catholic too, so I mean I have the very stern, you know, Catholic school stuff. So what it's brought me to is understanding, like you said, it's all one. There's just, it's one, and it's a part of that. And since I started doing that, I can deliver services on Sundays, and I can do groups, and I can do different things and stuff on explaining it. It's all in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's all in the Christian Bible, whatever, you know, but it's all in there. So, so when you look at that, you know, these and even greater things shall we do.
Yeah.
Somebody who's going through life knowing that they're not fulfilling their greatest level that they could be doing and stuff, that, you know, the greatest impact they could be having. And they're not doing it because of a glass ceiling.
Yeah. And it could be everything that you believe. Yeah.
And it's, and accepting that as being their truth is how far they can go. That's why I'm so passionate about what I do, because I want those people to know that's bullshit. Excuse my language, but it is. That's BS. There's nothing that can hold anybody back outside of here.
Yeah. outside of your brain. That's so true. Oh, well, thank you so much. Oh, yes. That's so amazing. And I think we now resized every bit. I didn't want to say crush or break the glass ceiling, because still it is a perception, and it might be true for someone, but still we came from so many different angles. And I loved how we put everything together. Also the last bit of someone who's still holding on to maybe how they were raised in terms of religion and all of that. So opening up that space as well is pretty important, I think, to a lot of people, because they wouldn't step into their power if it wouldn't be allowed. So, and now here we come with the religion and the beliefs, and love it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things I've noticed is when I work with a female versus a male, mm-hmm. is the males, I have to have more of that longer conversation into that, what I call a beginner mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, all of us know things, right? If we're over 3 years old, and when you're a teenager, you know it all. But then when you get in your 20s, you realize you don't again. But we all know a lot of things. Mm. But really, to do this stuff, to really get the maximum benefit out of this stuff, you have to come about it. I've learned that people who come about it with the, okay, I know this stuff, but what can I learn to add to it?
Yeah.
Get a lot more out of it than just associating, yep, I know that.
Mm-hmm. So true. And a lot of things come with the repetition. And every time we repeat something, we learn something new. So yes, we should open up more to see something new, and then be open again to really adapt the way we think, the way we do things. And
again, I think I said this already, but again, you know, I'm not saying there's not a glass ceiling. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that my perception, there isn't. But there is. I'm not saying that there's not a glass ceiling. But I'm saying if we, the people who perceive a glass ceiling, if you focus on the power within you, and you start living through that power, and you start bringing that out and going forth, a glass ceiling is not going to hold you up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'll tell you, It's never been as fulfilling, as exciting, as adventurous living life as it is now through this perception, through these things, through the understanding that power, harness, you know, accessing it and living through it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are so right. I see it. I feel it. And
I can see it in your smile.
Yes. No one else can. I know. But yeah, I just had this last question in mind, which is, do you have any parting wisdom that you want to share with anybody? But I just feel like there was so much. I don't know. Can you come up with
I would like to say one thing. I'd like, because I always like to leave people with, okay, I listened to this, some of it resonated, some of it I don't know, but what's something I can do? So here's something that you can do. Mm-hmm. Is you can understand, look at your discontents. Look at the things that are happening in your life that you don't want. Instead of allowing that to run your life, determine what you can achieve in life. Just look at it. Get out of it what you get. See it. Face on, see it. And then turn your attention to what you want instead. Mm-hmm. Once you understand what it is you do want, forget all about that discontent, because its only purpose in our life is to guide us to what we do want. So if we didn't have any discontent, we'd all be dead, because we wouldn't know to eat and things like that. So use the discontent just as a guidance to what you do want, and then put your energy, put your excitement, vision, you know, like get this excitement going for what it is you do want, like it's already happening.
Yes.
And watch and see how quickly things will start to turn.
Yeah. Yes. Change your focus. Yes. I love that. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing all of that insight and really resizing with me. Really, I love that. And for our listeners who want to stay in touch with you, I know that you have a free gift for them. Would you love to share what that is?
I would love to. So anybody can go to ifgtcoach.com, and I think that'll be down the bottom. But the other very special gift I have for you is I wrote a book called Align, Manifest, transform. And it's talking about some of the things we're talking about here. And it's talking about how to, the application and how to start moving in that. And there's a link below you can click and you can download your copy for free. So I'd love to share with you. And I would love to get your input back on it, what you thought of it, if you thought it was great, if you thought it was ridiculous, whatever. I love the feedback. So, and we'll just keep the conversation going here.
Yes, thank you so much. That's so generous. And thank you for being our special guest today.
Absolutely. Very, very privileged and honored to be here with you.
Great. Thank you so much. To our listeners, more sessions will be delivered to your inbox tomorrow. I look forward to be joining you tomorrow. Until then, don't forget that changes need chances. So give yourself a chance to rise into your power and embody your true self. It is your time to shine.